with me, if you will, to Genesis chapter 48. Genesis chapter 48. And we're going to read verses 15 down through verse 22. And our subject this morning is the last testimony of Jacob. We're coming now to the end of the book of Genesis, and we probably won't finish until sometime in the first of the year. But as we look at these things, we see there is something in this for every one of us here today. And today we're going to look at the last testimony of Jacob. Now everybody here is leaving a testimony. Now what kind of a testimony you're leaving behind depends on your relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now if you're saved here today, my hope is that you'll leave behind the same kind of a testimony that Jacob did. Now Jacob was not a perfect saint. We need to know that. He was no different than the rest of us. He had ups and downs, he had failures, and he had victories. His last testimony, you'll see it was a beautiful testimony, and this is something that every one of us here ought to strive for and make sure that we have the same kind if we know him. Now, if you don't know him, my hope is that something will be said this morning in this testimony that the Lord God of heaven will take and use for his glory. Because you see, in Jacob's testimony this morning, you'll see God's method of redemption set forth. It's an amazing thing. I've read this book of Genesis over and over again, and I never saw until this past week what's been in there all the time. That's what makes the Word of God so beautiful. Genesis chapter 48, beginning at verse 15. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. On the head of Ephraim, it displeased him, and he held up his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head unto Manasseh's. Not so, my father, for this is the firstborn. Put thy right hand upon his head. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son, I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great, but truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. And he blessed them that day, saying, In thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he set Ephraim before Manasseh. And Israel said unto Joseph, Behold, I die, but God shall be with you, and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite, with my sword and with my bow. Shall we bow together in prayer? Our Lord, this morning, you know the seriousness of this hour. You know the opposition of the evil one. Thou dost know the depravity and the opposition of the human heart, as well as the inability of the human vessel. And so we ask thee, our God, today, meet with us in a special manner. Send forth thy word in power and might. Unlock these hearts that need to know thee. And then, Lord, strengthen these that do know thee. But above everything else, get glory to thyself in all that's said and done. Thank you again for this time together, and we ask thee now, Lord, meet with us in a special way and glorify thyself in this service. We thank you for the evident manifestation of thyself already, and we look to thee for it to come to pass, and we'll praise thee right now for what shall transpire. We ask it, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Our subject this morning, the last testimony of Jacob. If today was my last message to you, it wouldn't be any different than if I had weeks and months prepared for it. As I've said before, I'm going to say again, we have a testimony here, and every believer should strive to have the same kind that Jacob had. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, we leave a testimony behind whether we come to the Lord Jesus Christ or not. As we said before, I'll say again, you and I preach our funeral while we're living. And today we're going to look at the testimony that Jacob left behind, and it'll fall into these two categories. In Genesis chapter 48, look at verse 1. Here we have in our lesson today two things that we want to look at. First of all, believers face what Jacob was facing in this chapter. To pass after these things that one told Joseph, Behold, thy father is sick, and he took with him an eater. Now, we want to direct your attention to the fact that today, theology that's being preached today is a theology which is a bandwagon type of theology. You listen to the radio and you'll hear it over and over and over again. God doesn't want believers to be sick. God doesn't want believers to be poor. God doesn't want believers to suffer. There's nothing further from the truth than those three things. You and I as believers need to face one thing. Believers become sick. Joseph was a believer, and he became sick. Now take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 11, and I'll show you another aspect. And when you talk to somebody and they say, oh, if you're sick, it's because you're out of the will of the Lord, they don't know what they're talking about. In John chapter 11 and verse 1 we read, now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now get that. This throws into a cocked hat, so to speak, the idea that God doesn't want anybody to be sick. Now how come people get sick? Because of the fact that you and I are living in a sin-cursed earth. And believers do become ill. We need to understand that. Take your Bibles again. Turn to Philippians chapter 2. And look with me at verse 25, down through verse 27, and you'll see it set forth. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, down through verse 27, we read, yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick nigh unto death, but God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but upon me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow. So there you have three cases in the Scripture where you have believers and they became ill. Now, preacher, what in the world, why are you telling us this? Because we want to offset this so-called foolish preaching that's going on across the world today that God doesn't want or expect or bring sickness upon individuals. Now, beloved, you may be a believer here today. Before the week's out, you might be sick. When it does come to pass, don't sit there and fret about it. It is part of the life that we live here on this earth, because we face what Jacob was facing in our study. The second thing I want to bring out is this. Not only do believers get sick, but believers also die. Now, wait a minute. Why should a believer die? Well, we shouldn't, by rights. What are you talking about? Well, we have been brought out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Well, now, if we're placed into the kingdom of God's dear Son, then how come we still die? Because it's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. Now, what are you talking about? When God saved you and me, he didn't exempt us from the sicknesses and the perils and the trials and the sorrows of this life. Neither has he exempted us from death unless he comes after us before we die. Believers not only become sick, but believers also die. It's rather significant that no sooner did I receive this message from the Lord and I found it in this blessed book, we find very clearly what happened. All right, first of all, I got word on Tuesday that Keith Goff's mother had died and she was buried last Sunday. Now, I had tried to call him both Friday and Saturday, and of course I couldn't get a hold of him, and so I found out by letter that his mother had died and she was buried on Sunday afternoon. Well, then last night when I got home from being down there with the choir at the at the park, I should say, and I found out, I got home and there's a message on the phone, and there was that message that my second cousin, Joe Northick, had just passed away between 5 and 7. All right, now who'd you see? Both of them I had talked to, and both of them professed faith in Christ. Now this theology that's preached today, that God doesn't want you to be sick, and God doesn't want you to be poor, and God doesn't want you to die, all right, is a false theology. And you and I need to offset that. And when you hear somebody talking like that, you take them to the Word of God and say, all right, how come Jacob died? How come David died? How come Paul was dying? If God didn't want any of them to die, how come they did? So you see, their theology is all wrong. And you and I have to offset that at this present hour. Now, the thing we bring out this morning is this, that believers also die. Now, look at me, if you will. Genesis chapter 49, and look at verse 33. And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed, and yielded up the ghost, and was gathered unto his people. Now turn to Genesis chapter 50 and verse 26. So Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in the coffin in Egypt. All right, now the second truth you have here, not only do believers become sick, but believers also die. Now keep that in mind. Believer, you and I are going to live forever in eternity, but you and I are not going to live forever on this earth. Not at its present state. We face reality that the older we come, or I should say, the older we become, the more we need to look forward to the fact that we're going to meet the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to stand before Him, and then as we stand before Him, we will have life eternal and be in His presence forever and ever. When I talked to Joe some weeks ago, I went down to visit him. I looked at him and I saw right away that he was not long for this world. And I turned to him and I said, Joe, I said, you've got something on me that I wish I had. He said, what's that? I said, you're going to see the Lord before I do. Now that may sound strange to you, but it shouldn't be if you're a believer. Because you see, you and I are going to die. And when we die, we find very clearly it's not the end of all these things. We are absent from the body, and then we become present with the Lord. That's for a believer. And so a believer doesn't face death with fear. Death has no sting for a believer. Keep that in mind. That's why the Lord Jesus said in Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. In Adam we all die, in Christ we shall all be made alive. And yet we find very clearly that believers died. Jacob and the others died in Egypt. Individual believers die. And then we find also the third reason is this. The cause of it is because of the curse. Now you and I better remember one thing, and we better understand it absolutely. The world in which we are living in is under the curse of God. God cursed it in the Garden of Eden. That's why man works today in the sweat of his brow or in the sweat of his face. That's why today thorns and thistles grow much better than the crops of this earth. This earth is cursed. But at the same time, God has a plan for this earth, and one of these days, this earth is going to be renovated to its original pristine condition. And it will be a place where believers are going to stay with the Lord God of heaven forever and ever, and that's the final culmination of God's plan. But while we're here, you and I better face one thing. We're going to die unless the Lord comes first. Done. And don't let it frighten you. Death for the believer is no problem. It's a step upward. And we find very clearly that God has given the testimony of the curse of this earth, because everything around us dies. I don't know how you felt this fall, but I looked out there at those beautiful mums that were on each side of the porch. Did you look at them? Until they put up the partitions, I should say, to keep the wind from blowing in there. I used to get on the kids once in a while because I'd see them jumping over them. I said, get off those flowers. I didn't want them to miss and step on them. Well, why not? They were beautiful. But did you notice one thing? They died, didn't they? You see, everything on this earth dies. Testifying beyond the shadow of a doubt, this earth is under a curse. Now, you're going to die someday, unless God comes after us first. You may be young, you might be middle-aged, you might be old. You're going to die, and you never know when it's going to take place, and you never know how close to death you might come. I got a card this past week from Larry Morrow. You all know him. His wife said Larry was in an accident and a man was killed. Well, we thought it was his fault. We thought it was bad. So we called him last night and find out that he was driving his truck loaded with rock to help fill in his yard because he's covering up certain things, and he was coming down the road about as slow as he could. And over the hill came a 35-year-old man. He was drunk, and he was driving that automobile at least 90 miles an hour or better. Now you say, preacher, what's so bad about that? Well, you've never been there. Barbara's been down there, and she knows what those roads are like. And we find very clearly they're curvy and they're hilly, and he came over the top of that hill, and he was on the wrong side of the road. He lost control of his car, and he slammed right into that truck. He was instantly killed. Well, Larry wasn't hurt too bad. He felt bad about it that the man died. But I told him this. I said, praise the Lord, he protected you. And he still is. And you see, every day you go to work, every day I go to work or anything like that, or wherever we go, to the office, the factory, the school, or wherever it may be, all right, you face one thing. You might die tomorrow. And don't be afraid if it does come, if you know the Lord. Now, if you don't know Him, you ought to be deathly afraid. Because you see, when you're absent from the body and you're an unbeliever, you go into a devil's hell and you'll stay there forever and ever and ever. And then when you do, you'll burn forever and you'll never have an opportunity to be saved. And I'll tell you right now, you'll be under the eternal wrath of God. Now, none of you here, if you've got any sense, want to be that way. But every one of us need to understand this, and this is what it is, that we face what Jacob was facing in our chapter. He was sick. Jacob was coming to the end of his life. And you and I will come to this as a believer. We ought to have the same kind of a testimony, and we ought to struggle to maintain it, and enhance it, I should say, if I may use that term, that Jacob had. Now, what kind of a testimony did Jacob have? Well, we find very clearly in Genesis chapter 48, look at these words if you will. In Genesis chapter 48 and verses 3 and 4, Jacob said these words. And Jacob said unto Joseph, God Almighty appeared unto me at Luz in the land of Canaan, and blessed me, and said unto me, Behold, I will make thee fruitful and multiply thee, and I will make of thee a multitude of people, and will give this land to thy seed after thee for an everlasting possession. All right, now what do you have here? First thing you have here about Joseph was it, or Jacob, I should say, was this. His testimony was very clearly, number one, God spoke to me. What about you today? Has God ever spoken to you? Now you know whether or not He has. If He hasn't, my friend, put it down. He must, or you can never be saved. You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Well, the New Testament brings very clearly, my sheep hear my voice, don't they? And the hour is come and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now, Joseph, he gave this testimony. He said, God Almighty spoke unto me. That's number one. See, your testimony today ought to be, number one, God spoke unto me. Jacob never forgot this reality, and I'm going to tell you again, you have never forgotten it either, if it ever took place. If it took place 30 years ago, all right, you remember when God spoke to you. If it took place 50 years ago, you remember when God spoke to you. You see, there was a time in your life when God did what? You were traveling, as it were, the Damascus Road, and what did God do? God stopped you and spoke to you. You know it. You, and I'll tell you right now, every true testimony has this aspect to it, that what did God do? God spoke to him himself. Keep testimony. Then there's the second thing. Again, Genesis chapter 48, and look with me again, if you will, these words. In Genesis chapter 48 and verse 15, look at what Jacob said here. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the Lord which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Now let's stop right here, all right? Here's the second thing. And Jacob knew it, and so do you if this is your testimony. The second thing that Jacob brings out is this, that God not only spoke to him, but God especially took care of it. What are you talking about? Well, we'll look at Jacob's life for a moment. He had to flee from Esau because of sin. God met him at Padan Aram and said, I will bless thee. And Jacob said, how dreadful is this place. He went down to where his uncle was, and his uncle Laban changed his wages 10 times. He cheated him out of his wife for the 7 years that he worked, and then he deceived him and gave him Leah instead, and then he had to work another 7 years, and he also gave him Rachel, and then he worked another 7 years in order to make any money, and all that time Laban cheated him, and he's connived against him, and everything else. But are you listening? God still took care of you. All right, now hold your seat. Jacob wasn't saved at that time. I don't believe Jacob got saved until Genesis chapter 32, where he wrestled with the angel at Peniel, and God changed his name from Jacob. He changed his name to Israel, and his name became Israel because he was a prince with God and had prevailed. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Jacob's testimony was this, that he was specially cared for by the Lord. All right, you that are here tonight or today without the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you right now, go back over your life. Have you had a close call with death? Like Larry said last night when I talked to him on the phone, he said, you know, he said, Brother Pete, he said, I pulled over just as far as I could. He said, the night just loaded. He said, I couldn't stop very good, but he wasn't going very fast. He said, I pulled over as far as I could. He said, the guy hit me head on. He said, he bent the frame. He moved the whole truck loaded with rock and everything like that. And he said, he hurt my hip and knocked me in the head. But he said, thank God I wasn't killed. See? Now, what are you talking about? God took care of you. God's taking care of you here today. Now, how long he's going to take care of you, I don't know. When you get saved, he'll take care of you forever, won't he? And aren't you glad? You see, Jacob never missed a meal that we read of. What did he say? God provided for him. And God especially blessed him. And he can never forget that. Well, the individual today is blessed also. Because you see, our Lord says that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, what are you talking about? Well, you may lose something today, like Georgette's husband lost his truck. It was stolen, and they found out it was stripped and everything like that. Yet, he wasn't hurt. See, God's taking care of you and me. You may go into the hospital tomorrow, all right? If you know the Lord, you don't have to worry. If you don't know the Lord, God may put you on a sick bed to make you realize your need of him and then bring you to Christ. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you this. The testimony of a believer has got to be like that of Jacob. What did God do? God spoke to him very clearly as he spoke to us, and then we were especially cared for by the Lord himself. Are you listening? I wonder how many of you missed a meal since the Lord saved you. I bet none of you did. I may use that term, I bet. I presume that none of you did. Well, why not? Because like David said, he said, I have been old. I said, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And my Lord does what? He takes care of our need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now, that's the second aspect of the testimony. Now, there's a third one. Now, a lot of people come along and say, yes, God spoke to me. And the Lord has been taking care of me. But now there's got to be the third aspect to it. And what is that third aspect? All right, turn again, if you will, to chapter 16. Notice what Jacob is saying. He says, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. Now look at this stands out. The angel that redeemed me from all evil. Now there's a testimony, isn't it? Now what do you have here? Well, the angel that Joseph is referring to is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, because in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is the angel of the covenant. And when you read about the angel of the Lord appearing to these people, it's a theophonic manifestation of the Lord Jesus before his incarnation. He's the angel of the covenant. All right, he appeared to Jacob. And what did Jacob do? Jacob wrestled with him. But we find very clearly, the angel which redeemed me, notice, from all evil. Now, what did that entail with regard to Jacob? Well, I'll tell you this. Jacob became exempted from the penalty of his transgressions. He was exonerated from legal responsibilities, and then he had extinguished the threat of eternal perdition. That's one thing. Same thing as you. If you're saved here today, I'll tell you right now, you've been exempted from the penalty of your transgressions. Aren't you glad? Go back in your life, if you will. You'll do it with shame. Go back and see what you've done. Go back and think of what you said to the Lord God of heaven when you were ignorant. And how that you despised Him, and because you despised Him because in your mind is a carnal mind, and the carnal mind is enmity against God. And the individual is not brought to that realization when God sets out to redeem him. That he personally is enmity against God. And Jacob was in this category. And when God, he wrestled with the angel, what did God do? God broke him down, and we find the angel which redeemed me, he exempted Jacob from the penalty of his transgressions, just like he did you and me. Then, we're exonerated from legal responsibilities. Now, preacher, what is that? That's the keeping of the law. But thank God it's been kept for us. The Lord Jesus Christ kept the law. He kept it in His life and He kept it in His death. And we find very clearly, because of Him, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And Jacob was in this category. And then we find very clearly that there was extinguished the threat of eternal perdition. So Jacob didn't have to worry about going to hell, and you and I don't have to worry about going to hell if you know the Lord Jesus Christ. But God's not through. He not only redeems us, but we find also redemption involves this. It involves being delivered from the power, the guilt, and the punishment of sin, which is the greatest of all evils. Then we are also delivered from the dominion and tyranny of Satan, as well as being delivered from everlasting wrath, ruin, and damnation. And beloved, you and I are in the same category as Jacob was if you're saved. Now let's look at that for a moment. Take your Bibles now. Go back to Galatians chapter 3 and look at me at verse 13. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 13, we find this truth of God. Listen to it. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. Aren't you glad that's there? He's redeemed us from what? The curse of the law. Then, to go back, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1, and look at me at verses 4 through 7, where we read again. Listen to what it says. Ephesians chapter 1, particularly verses 4 through 7, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him, in love having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace. Now look at these words. Wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Aren't you glad that's there? Now that's us. I hope that's your testimony today. Then we find also, this is our testimony, because in 1 Peter chapter 1, and look at verses 18 through 20, you find the reason this has all come about. It tells us how it's been brought for our benefit. In verse 18 we read, 1 Peter 1, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now you see, Jacob has the same testimony you and I have. He said, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that redeemed us from all evil. Do you know Him? I hope and pray that you do. All right, now let's go back to Genesis 48 again. There's a fourth aspect in the testimony of Jacob, and we need to look at it. The fourth aspect is found in Genesis chapter 48, and look at verse 21 and 22. And Israel said unto Joseph, behold, I die, but God shall be with you. and bring you again into the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to thee one portion above thy brethren, which I took out of the hand of the Amorite with my sword and with my bow. All right, now the fourth thing of this testimony is this. We are secured with a hope that cannot be destroyed. Now, what are you talking about? Well, Jacob was fixing to die in Egypt. Yet he had this hope. It could not be destroyed. And what was that hope? God had promised to Jacob and his seed, he had promised them the land of Palestine. He promised it to them. Jacob knew it. Isaac knew it. Abraham knew it. David knew it. And I'll tell you right now, that promise is still in force at this hour. It cannot be destroyed. Now let's look at it from a spiritual aspect. All right? You and I are also, if you're saved here today, you and I have been given and secured a hope which cannot be destroyed. Now what's that hope? All right, take your Bibles now. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And first hope of every believer. And if you don't have it, my friend, I hope that the Lord will write it in your heart today. And He'll give it to you. In 1 Peter chapter 1, we find, beginning with verse 2, these words. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, if that's not your hope, you don't have the right hope. What are you talking about, preacher? Are you listening? I've got an inheritance. My inheritance has been given to me by my Father. I haven't entered into it yet, but I'm going to. It's an incorruptible inheritance. It's reserved in heaven for me. It's guarded 24 hours a day by the angels of God. And my inheritance is not only guarded for me, but the Lord God of heaven is also guarding me so that I cannot lose my inheritance any way, shape, or form. You see, I'm kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, this was the testimony of Jacob. Let me ask you a question. Is it yours today? It's not a hope so, not a think so, not a maybe so, not a surmise so, not a guess so. No, sir, it's a reality. And Jacob said very clearly, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. Bless the lads. And then he went on to say, he said, God will visit you and bring you into the land that He has promised. And when we look at it from the spiritual aspect, we bless the Lord because we have the guarantee of God that He's going to bring us into the inheritance that He has reserved for us in glory. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Is that your testimony? Now you think on it. And when you get up, you can all get up and give a testimony and say, all right, I just want to praise the Lord. First of all, the angel which redeemed me from all evil. He redeemed me from all evil. God spoke to me. He redeemed me from all evil. And now He also has given me an inheritance, and it's waiting for me in glory. That's why a believer doesn't need to be afraid to face death. Because precious in the eyes of the Lord is the death of His saints. Now, you unbelievers don't have anything. I'll tell you what your inheritance is. It'll be everlasting wrath and judgment. Now, do you want it? Just stay like you are. You'll get it. If you don't want it, and I hope you don't, then you begin to ask the Lord to speak to your heart and ask Him to stop you in your tracks like He stopped Jacob in his tracks and spoke to you, and then ask the Lord to redeem you from all evil, and He will. You see, this is a testimony of Jacob, but then there's one more thing. And so many times people forget this. In Genesis chapter 48, look with me now, at verse 15 and then verse 20 and 22, where we read, and he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac did walk, the God which fed me all my life long unto this day, the angel which redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads, and let my name be named on them, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And then skip down, if you will, to verse 20. And he blessed them that day, saying, in thee shall Israel bless, saying, God make thee as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And he said, Ephraim before Manasseh. Now, preacher, what were you talking about here? All right, the third and last thing about Jacob's testimony is this. There was a solicitation of God for his seed. Now, Jacob wasn't satisfied that God had redeemed him. He wanted his relatives also to be redeemed. And if you have a true testimony of God today in your heart, I'm going to tell you right now, you want your relative. You at this hour, if you're a believer, are found right here in this church. Now, preacher, what in the world? The saints of God in this church ought to mean more to you than your own flesh and blood. Oh, no, wait, no. We're blood relatives. It's the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that makes every believer in this room a blood relative. Because the blood of Christ is even more precious than your flesh and blood you brought in the world. But you know the sad thing of it, it isn't. My hope is that your testimony before the Lord God of heaven is this. The angel that redeemed me from all evil, and then there'll be the solicitation on your part of the Lord God of heaven that he would do what? That he would bless your seed. Now Jacob here blessed the sons of Joseph. He said, the Lord bless the lads and make them like Ephraim and Manasseh. And he put Ephraim first, who was the second born, instead of Manasseh. And we find very clearly, what in the world are you talking about? Well, Jacob was interested in their spiritual welfare. And as a believer, if you're not interested in the spiritual welfare of your seed, then there's something wrong. There's something wrong. We went down last night to the park and we saw the crowd down there, and I looked at those people and I saw very clearly they weren't interested in the things of God. They had some old man dressed up in a red suit and a false beard and everything like that, and everybody was more interested in him than they were interested in hearing the carols of God sung or singing them themselves. And it showed very clearly the deadness of their life. And the only spark of encouragement that was found down there last night was when the choir was singing the carols of God of Almighty and giving a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. I was going to ask some of you this morning, did you get thought out? But I think they did all right. But now what are you talking about, all right? Why didn't they go down there? You never know what God will do. I saw one woman. I've known that woman for years. I witnessed to her more than once myself. She absolutely turned you off every time you talked with her. But I saw her last night for the first time in 30-some years. I saw that woman listening with an ear and listening with an expression that showed that something there was touching her heart. Now what's going to happen, I don't know. But you see, beloved, your testimony and mine is going to be left behind. Now what kind of a testimony is it going to be? One that glorifies God? Or one that always complains about your heartaches and your sorrows and your trials and everything like that? I haven't got time to listen to that. People have met me at the hospital, at the post office more than once, and said, how are you doing this morning? I said, oh, pretty good. I said, how's everything going with you? Just fine. They look at me kind of funny. I said, who's going to listen to a griper? If I tell you they're not going to be any good, who's going to listen? All right, as a believer, your testimony and mine ought to be similar to that of Jacob. God spoke to me on the road one day. He fed me all his life, and all my life, I should say, And what else did he do? He redeemed me from all evil. And he's given me a hope that the world doesn't understand. The world can't comprehend it. And yet we find it's a hope that is steadfast and sure because we have an inheritance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the result of it is this. I want others to go with me. Is that your testimony? I pray it is. Now, why do I say this? Well, let me close, if I may. The testimony of Jacob sets forth very clearly the inspiration, the accuracy of this scripture, doesn't it? How many ways does God have to save a sinner? Just God's way, one way. He speaks to the sinner. He redeems the sinner. He humbles the individual. He shows that sinner his need of Christ, redeems him by his grace and by his blood, and then he does what? He gives that individual a hope, and he carries us through even into the portals of glory through the valley of the shadow of death, and we need fear no evil. Now this is Jacob's testimony. Is it yours? I pray it is. Always remember one thing. You and I are going to leave a testimony behind. What's it going to be like? I hope it'll be like this as set forth in the scripture by Jacob. And then last of all, I need to bring this with you. The older we become, the more we need to reflect and praise the Lord for his goodness to us. Jacob was an old man. And yet you see him praising the Lord. How many times do we hear people, I can't do anything anymore. I'm too old. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, Wallace, 5 years of age in the rest home. And what'd she say? She said, I'm here because this is where the Lord wants me to be. She said, it's not my home, but it's the best thing for a while. She said, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. And she says, I'd like to help these old people, but they won't let me. Quite a testimony, isn't it? What about you today? Who you rub elbows with? Turn the conversation to the things of God as much as possible. But last of all, make dead sure that your testimony is rooted in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall we stand? Take your songbooks, if you will, and turn to number 390. And let's sing. 390. This ties right in with our lesson this morning. Is your heart right with God?